Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined by Raheel Kassam. We are talking about both the work he does at Breitbart's London operation. He's its editor-in-chief. He is the guest host frequently. I have the privilege of interacting with him there. The Sirius broadcast, wonderful Breitbart radio program. And he has put forward this incredibly important and extraordinarily timely book about no-go zones, not just in Europe, but how they may be coming to a neighborhood near you, or indeed, as he has said, they're perhaps here already. Raheel, I did want to ask about one piece of this that we sort of left at the end of the last section of the program, namely this idea that our constitutional protection of religious freedom is now being exploited by these Sharia supremacists essentially to drive their agenda, their totalitarian political, military, legal agenda, their doctrine of Sharia, into our country and to force us in due course, if not immediately, to submit to it. Would you just talk about this issue of religious freedom and respect for it and how it is being used against us and the implications of not getting this right?
Well, I mean, it seems very clear to me, although you will appreciate that in the conversations and debates that you and I often have with the other side, they don't seem to come to these conclusions as easily. You have, of course, a tradition of religious freedom in this nation, and you should always continue with that. You also have a tradition of free speech and free expression. Full stop. No questions asked. If I want to say rabid, awful things about the Muslim prophet, I should be free to do so. In European countries, this is now hate speech. This is now a hate crime. Indeed, people have been arrested for quoting from Winston Churchill on the issue of Islam. And therefore, America really is the last bulwark in the world on this issue. The only country, by the way, in the world, and I know this escapes a lot of Americans sometimes, the only country in the world that has enshrined in its law, the First Amendment, the idea that you can say whatever you want. And that's such an important thing to remember. I think, you know, I'm an outsider to this country. I'm here at the moment. But the number of people that don't appreciate the magnitude of having that enshrined in law, it really does escape me. Now, here's the thing. When you get into the debate about being able to criticize, even being able to say nasty things if you want about Islam, but usually it's not nasty stuff. Usually it's either the truth or it's an exploratory debate that gets shut down. You will notice that over the course of that discussion, one of the first talking points, and usually it's actually the end of their logic on this, is, oh, but we can't just lump a billion plus people in together. Now, what that actually is not compassion, it's not tolerance, it's not moderacy, it's a veiled threat. What they're saying to you is, be careful about this, otherwise you will have the wrath of over a billion people bearing down on your heads. Now, how that ties in to Islam as a religion of peace, as we're so often told, again, you would think, and I'm sure the listeners of this program will realize, is a completely illogical dichotomy to present.
Well, and it's also part of the taqiyya we're faced with, which is, as you know so well, Raheem, a tradition. In fact, arguably, it is something condoned, if not obligatory, under Sharia, to lie for the faith, to advance it through deception, especially deception of the kuffars, the unbelievers.
It is in the Quran, by the way. That is what people don't realize. It is in the Quran.
Yeah, well, and I think the disagreement you get from some folks is, oh, well, only the Shiites do it. Those are typically Sunni who say it, but of course, you know, it's applied quite universally. Let me ask you, if we understand then what you've teed up here, and that is, just to summarize, we have a phenomenon throughout the West with the Brotherhood sort of in the vanguard of Sharia supremacism asserting its control and domination not only over Muslims, but wherever possible, over others, non-Muslims, at the very least requiring our submission to their demands, under the threat that somebody else, if not they themselves, will engage in violence if you don't go along with it. So this brings us to the subject of your important new book, No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. there have, over these years, been larger and larger numbers of Muslims brought in as immigrants, as refugees, as workers. Some of them have simply, been born in the countries to those communities. But talk about what has happened that is increasingly transforming these populations into folks who are residing in and operating from the kinds of places you have defined, I think, quite well as no-go zones.
I mean, how long have you got? This tour for the book took me all across Europe, looking into these migrant communities, predominantly Muslim populated migrant communities, and how they were set apart from other life in Sweden and in France and in Belgium and in the United Kingdom. And indeed, I grew up with this around me. I'm from London, and so I saw Tower Hamlets in East London changing before my very eyes. I've seen it go from being a relatively downtrodden London suburb to being, they use this word diversity, to being one of the least diverse places I have ever seen in my life. This is a neighborhood where you can see graffiti on the streets that says Taliban are here. You can see graffiti on the streets that says you are not safe. I was there a couple of months ago with the same New York Times journalist that I mentioned earlier. I took him there because I refused to have to answer his questions without him seeing all of these things himself firsthand. And as soon as we got there, we were surrounded by a group of young Muslim boys who said, "You shouldn't be in this area." He was a white Jewish guy, I think, and I was dressed in a sport coat and tidy jeans, and so they could identify us as being different, not one of them, and they found no problem in saying to us that we shouldn't be there. I had the same experiences in Molenbeek in Brussels, now known as the terror capital, and I went there in 2015. I had a couple of colleagues with me. One of them happened to be a young girl with long blonde hair, and as soon as we got there, she was getting shouted at, nasty, nasty things, often in foreign languages as well, not in Walloon, not in French, not in English, but shouted at to cover her head, that she was being lacking in respect for the area, lacking in respect for the local community and population. And you see it not just playing out with outsiders. You see how it plays into their everyday lives. One of the things I did for this book was not go in there with big cameras and lighting equipment and a whole crew in order to upset people or provoke people into behaving a certain way. At some times, I just sat on a bench in the middle of the town center and observed people's way of life. And one of the most disturbing things for me was watching how women are treated in those communities. The women are responsible for ferrying the children to and from school, to and from the grocery store, but that's it. The men stand outside the mosque, they stand outside the cafes, they pack into the cafes, and if a woman tries to go in the cafes, and there's video evidence of this from a France 2 reporter who documented this, if a woman tries to go in the cafe, they, again, are abused, told to get out. And they were confronted once. This France 2 team confronted the owner of one of these cafes in France and said, "You can't do this to women. This is Paris." And the owner of the cafe said, "You're not in France anymore."
I've heard this in a number of other settings as well, that people have been told quite unabashedly, "You are deluding yourself that you think you are still in the country of which this community is at least nominally a part." And that goes to the heart of the problem, Rahim, that you have been assiduously documenting and now warning so powerfully about, that we are looking at places that in France, there are something on the order of, 750 of these so-called sensitive urban zones that are now effectively no longer part of cosmopolitan France. When we come back, I want to explore with you what the implications are for the countries of Europe where this is taking place, as well as looking to what it means for us as well. That and much more with Rahim Kassam, the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Just out, check it out. Right after this, we'll be back.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.